Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Friday. It is the 15th of the month already. We're right in the middle, and it fell on a day to celebrate, and hopefully we have a lot to celebrate because it feels good already. And today we have questions. I have questions. I have comments. And, oh, my gosh, we've got to hit them so we can get them all done. My first question is, I have a question brewing for Friday, but I haven't been able to sort it out. Some people make decisions using logic, others use emotion. It seems our world at this time is being run or controlled by the ones using emotion. And this is not a good thing because of the emotions they have. My question is swirling around injured love, growing negative emotions, often to explosive levels. I think my question is about injured love and those explosive levels of emotion, and can emotions be negative emotions? Then I thought maybe this is your foundation for what it is for, so I should keep my mouth shut. Well, never keep your mouth shut. That's never a good thing. If you're thinking, speak, because otherwise no one will ever know what you're thinking, and you will never have a discussion. So it's just better to talk. But while I was reading this question, I just had the biggest realization ever. When we say that somebody, well, no, let me go back. Nothing is as it seems. When somebody has an argument with another person, and actually I personally have experienced this, and I want to say in the last year a couple of times with the same person. And what happens is they're fine. They're, you know, logical. They have a job that's very structured. They just know what to do when they do it. And they believe that they are the ones that are non-emotional. Everyone thinks I'm all about emotion because of the work I do. But it turned out that when there is a conflict between us, and we had a few, and they're not like conflicts like big drawn-out fights. No. It's just I might see something completely one way, and the other person I know knows better, but when they open their mouth, it comes out the complete opposite of anything I could have thought or done. Anything. And then I get accused of doing what they think I'm doing rather than what I can tell them I'm doing. So I realized that when Christ writes about opposite mind, I found an opposite mind. Now, we're friends. We get along great on, I want to say, almost everything until the friend does something that stems from injured love. They're logical until they speak from their injury. And now I'm talking to a 5-year-old kid who was hurt, who doesn't know they just became 5 years old. And it's interesting to see, because I don't think until now I have seen such a clear representation of injured love. Injured love is a wild card. So when we have, like you say, explosive emotions, and your question about injured love growing negative emotions often to explosive levels, your question is that injured love and these explosive levels of emotions, can emotions be negative emotions? Of course they can be negative. Because, you know, this is something, it was like Christ showed me this. It was a long time ago. But he showed me like almost like a bar. of every single emotion known to mankind. Every single emotion, just like on a bar graph. They're like in a line. Think of like a ruler with every single emotion on it. And then, you know how bars go up to tell you how many people are doing whatever, doing the stats, the statistical measurements? So that bar for every single person alive today, we have this bar of emotions. We think, you know, maybe we're really high here, really low there, but whatever our combination is, there are no two alike. It's like our fingerprints. It's like I keep saying, they can be billions. We can get to a trillion humans that have passed through this earth from the beginning of time till now. Let's say there will never be two alike. So when we say, when you ask a question about injured love and explosive levels of emotions, can emotions be negative emotions? To the person, they don't see it that way because they're responding to an injury. To somebody watching them, you can clearly see it. There's no way you can't see it. But the one that you notice it in is going to fight you, accuse you, turn it on at you. We are experiencing that with the man who's running our country now, because he has all of the classic textbook characteristics of being narcissistic. If you read about narcissism, you will understand what you are seeing. People say he's crazy, he's this, he's that. They can talk all day long, one example after another, but he just has a particular personality type that is based, if you were to dig down into the narcissism, there's insecurity and low self-esteem and lack of self-love in there. But it looks like control and power and money and whatever else you want to throw at it. Because these people, the narcissistic, negatively emotional run of their life holds no prisoners. Everybody is fair game. The line may be drawn at their own children, but that's it. Not the wife, not the workers, not the friends. Nobody is safe around a person like that. Except, like I said, for their children. Because there's something in them that knows, you know, I'm not going to do that to my kid. Unless the kid turns against them. And if the kid turns against them, then they've got another lion to slay. But that we are all witnessing an example of what you're asking. It doesn't mean anyone's good or bad. I have no judgment on politics because I will never claim to know enough about politics to talk about politics. But I do know people. And we are all seeing injured love. And that's why a lot of us can't figure out, well, how did we do this? And how did that come up? And, you know, oh my God, now they want to charge us for the internet. And now they want to charge us for this. And now they want to charge us for that. And now, and you know, while we're not looking, we're being sidetracked by an election. And while we're not looking at that, we're being sidetracked by a tweet. And all this other stuff is happening. It will take years to sort out the mind and what it's doing. What it has done in less than a year. And I'm just talking about a narcissistic mind. Forget whose body it's in right now. But that is crazy. Because injured love unaddressed, narcissistic personality, those two things put together, nobody will rest around such a soul. They have too much going on that's unaddressed. So I hope I answered your question, Francis. I can't see you in chat today, so I don't know if I did, so let me know. So we have another question, and this one is from Liam Colley. And he says, this last year has seen my and your relationship change. I never missed a post or a show for years. Yet this year, I have missed lots of your work, even today's Thursday show. I've noticed the attachments to you aren't as addictive as they used to be, and I feel freer this past month or two since I got some medical help for struggles I was facing. My question is it sometimes better to be removed from someone from someone we are really attached to, like you, a maternal energy, because a relationship becomes unhealthy for the needs and wants placed on another, like I placed on you, Nadia? Is this the truth of the saying, when a relationship is wrong for one person, it's wrong for both? Does a defining of a relationship need to happen at times when we don't see that we get hurt in the non-acceptance and addiction to a relationship type? Sorry for the fact that many questions are in this one question. That is a lot of questions, but it's something that needs to be addressed, not just from Liam to me, but from anyone who deals with somebody who deals with a lot of people. The person who deals with a lot of people, especially doing what I do and what I talk, I'm a big mom, and I've always felt like it before I saw Christ, but seeing Christ and having this forum to speak about truth and love and purity, and it makes us family. Anybody, you know, you go see anybody, you run into anyone who's paid attention to you and helped you in some way, the way even Christ helped me. I never felt an addiction to Christ. I never felt that Christ had to help me or I would not make it in life. So when we start forming attachments where we feel like we have to be loyal, we can't miss something, we start putting parameters on our own life, independent of the other person who's just busy living their own life, then we put pressure on ourselves. I do the show every day because I love doing the show. If I felt like I have to wake up and I have to do the show, or I'm going to be, I don't know, showing people that I'm not loyal or that I don't love them, now I'm a prisoner to myself, and I will be dumping that energy on anybody who's listening. But because I wake up and I love doing the show and I love talking about these things, it's a completely different energy. So if you're feeling freer because you have now taken it upon yourself to make decisions for yourself, now you're getting closer to understanding your own role in your own life, which actually has nothing to do with me. You don't see me every day. You hear me for a half an hour a day. You might spend another half hour or 2 hours or 5 hours on Facebook and read a bunch of people's stuff and like a bunch of people's stuff, not just mine. But you don't have to do that. These decisions are all yours. When people place their energy on another person and they want that other person to perform to their level of what they need from them, that's an impossible task. Because in truth, even though I tell you guys about me, generally, you know, we don't know that much enough to attach like you're living with somebody. Like when I get off of the show, what do I do? Oh, I go for a walk. What do I do after that? Oh, I come back and I work and I take appointments and I keep going until I don't go anymore. And then I make a dinner and then we all eat dinner. And, you know, that's all just somebody's life. But when we put an undue pressure on another person, whatever we think they should be, that's like a form of self, I want to say, I don't know, it's like detaching from yourself and attaching onto somebody else. And now that person's responsible for what you think you need. And that's where the addiction comes in, right? People take a drug because a drug is supposed to do for them what they can't or don't want to do themselves. So they might drink to do that, or they might find a person to fill that. And if that person isn't there, they get upset at them and all of that. So it's not that we have a relationship, because I'm not there in your life. So if it's wrong for one, is it wrong for both? That's taking it to a very personal level, that you are part of my everyday physical life. That's a relationship. What we have is a different kind of, it's like, you know, a public forum. And when we start to think that the person in a public forum is our relationship, now we've crossed the line mentally that the other person could never fulfill, because there isn't a physical relationship to say, is this wrong for one or wrong for both? If you make a decision to feel more freedom, that you don't have to do something, that's your decision, your deal, your way of dealing with how you deal with attachment. And you're growing to realize that you don't have to do anything, just do what's right in your heart. It's like Christ with me never said to me, oh, Nadia, you know, you have to write these books now. Sit down and write these books. Oh, Nadia, you have to do a radio show, so, you know, get up every morning and do a radio show. Never. Never. Ever, never. I was already writing to God. And then I see Christ. Now my writing's changed, but I'm still writing. I might not be the best writer in the world. But boy, if there's heart behind anything, holy cow. So I just can't stop doing it. And so what happened? I say to Christ, oh, you said I was going to be writing books. When am I going to start? And Christ says to me, you've already finished. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Where did this book come from? And he goes, it's your writings. And I go, no way. I don't want everyone to read these writings. They're too personal. But I was writing anyway. Do you see the difference between forcing yourself to do something and something coming naturally to your soul? Do what comes naturally, and you will never go astray to yourself. Give your power away to someone else who doesn't even know they have it. It's just like taking you and dumping you, just like jumping on someone's back and going for a ride. So this isn't about addiction or acceptance or non-acceptance. That's going way too far into assuming that the other person is responding to you the way you are responding to them. But I learned a lot through you, Liam, because of you, I have learned not to just run around telling everybody, you know, my God, I love you, I love you. I tell everyone I love them. I can't help it because I do love everybody. But if somebody takes that and turns it into romantic love or addictive love, I have learned that I have to be very careful about that. And so I've had to pull back, because there's people who've even said to me, oh, you said, you know, with all my love, what does that mean? Do you love me? And I'm like, well, of course I do. But I'm like coming from a very pure place. When I think of people that I interact with, I am overwhelmed with how much love I feel for people. But if I didn't feel that love, I would never be able to do this work. How could I? I have sacrificed not only every penny I have made, I have borrowed money to do this work. I paid to do this work. I borrow money to eat to do this work. I know that's changing. I knew at the beginning of this month that by the end of this month, I will never have that issue again. How? I can't tell you, but I'll tell you in January. But I already know. I haven't had this feeling since all of this started. But I know I'm going to pay back the monies that I needed to survive to do this. Did I blame anybody for not being there? No. Because I trusted. So do I have to listen to every show? Do I have to like every comment? No. I have to do what I believe in my heart is best from my heart. I can't say, oh, Christ wants me to write this book. I need you to do this for me or it won't get done. That's putting pressure on other people. If I'm writing a book, I need to write the book. Self-accounting. I can't blame other people for not having time for me. I can't blame other people for not helping me. All of the listeners, which by Christmas I will do, is just wanting to thank every single person who stepped up, or when that month, last month it was only, my God, that, you know, people donated money and you guys have no idea what that did, because I never ask for as much as I need. There were days it made the difference between buying literally food or not. And I'm so unfazed that I'm so fearless, because all I can see is this work. But if I attach to someone else and expected them to do this work for me, then I have nothing. I can't give myself away. I have to own me. I have to own my decisions. I have to own what I do. And that's what I'm trying to tell you, Liam. Because when you started putting pressure on me to answer all of your hurt, all of you, and you wanted me to fix it, or there wasn't a right answer. And you put that on me. And I tried to take it because I wanted to help you, because I love people. But then I realized that the only way to help you was to stop responding instead of to continue responding, because there was nothing I could say or do that was going to change how you felt. You had to do that. I can't do anybody's work for them. Christ never did any work for me. If I asked Christ a question, Christ did not give me an answer. People think I'm an answer machine. Ask Christ this, ask Christ that. And I'm like, I don't know, you guys. When I ask questions, some things he answers. but they come to me through an experience. So if I ask a question generally, I will find myself learning the answer and then going, oh, wow, that answers my question. Oh, now I get it, because if he just gives me an answer and I didn't do the work to understand what that answer means, I'm going to walk right by the answer because it's too far ahead of me. So if I get the experience to understand why, then the answer makes sense to me. Isn't that cool? But what I found out is people want a one-second society. I feel bad, fix me, feel bad, fix me. And I'm like, wow, that look at me 15 years later. This April will be 2018 will be 16 years that I've been walking around this earth going, oh, God, I saw you. I saw Christ. And oh, my gosh. It's just as brand new today as it was when it happened. If you want to talk about timeless, it is just as brand new today. Feel, even if there's a way to feel even greater love now, in every day. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper and literally drives my life. I'm not perfect. That I know. And I found just so many examples of not being perfect, whatever that means. But I'm pure-hearted. That I can say clearly. Because I check myself. I ask myself, why do you want to do this? Why do you want to do that? There's, I saw a discussion between Francis and Paul Clark, and they said, good morning and good afternoon, everyone. This is about yesterday's show. About today's show, yesterday, I'm wondering if that woman and her daughter from the car accident will now teach their bodies how to feel in order to claim medical coverage. Will their bodies take that on and keep it? Maybe they won't feel so good until they come clean. And then Paul writes, that was a sad twist to the story that they lied about it, but maybe in the moment the mom was afraid of financial or points consequences against her daughter's driving privileges because she didn't even really get started. Hopefully that gets truthfully sorted out and Tara gets a replacement vehicle soon. So let me tell you guys, it has bothered me to no end that this mother exampled her daughter in this way. I am getting blamed for the accident no matter what happened because I hit them in the back. In the back, on the side, because I was trying to get away from hitting them. They changed their story. Now they were moving and I just rear-ended them. But I don't know what they told the police that day. When we get the police report, we'll see it. But to answer your question, when there are car accidents and we are involved, the first thing I automatically try to do is get away from the energy of the accident, meaning I don't do anything to keep myself in the mindset that, oh, my God, I got in an accident, and oh, my God, and that's where I live every day. I just say I got in an accident, I'm better. I'm alive, and I know if I'm alive, I can fix anything else around it. When I got hit by the car, I was approached by an attorney, not to sue their company because it was a hit and run. Once they knew I was okay, they left. But my company and wanted me to live in this whole doctor world of my back hurts, my this, and I'm not that person. So I know to disengage. Maybe that's something for them to learn. It's not my lesson. Again, they have to make their own. You guys, I love you so very much. I got 10 seconds already. I'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.